This is Jay Sekulo. Tonight, 10 Democrats take the stage for the presidential debates.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulo.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. Well, tonight, 10 Democrats will take the stage. So here's what we've got. Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, Cory Booker, the senator, former Texas Representative Beto O'Rourke, entrepreneur Andrew Yang, former Housing and Urban Development Secretary Julian Castro, and Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar. They're the only ones that made it for this debate stage. What's interesting, there actually may be others in the next debate because of the way that they're doing
the... It's the same structure, the same qualifications. So the same amount of donors, unique donors, and the same amount of polling. So it's clear that if you were a candidate who maybe already had met the donor threshold, then you could certainly get to the 2%. And maybe you already made it in two of the polls the DNC recognized. Certainly you could... get into this the next debate by being recognized in two more polls. So we will see. I mean, there's a very likelihood that this is one shot in 2019 that we get to see 10 candidates on one stage, the top 10. For the first time, this will be the top candidates on the stage together, all of them. But it may revert back. I say may revert back to that two-stage style debate next go-round.
Which is still early, so that's, you know, I think it's not good for the Democrats to still have that many. The things to watch tonight, and this I think is true, is going to be the Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren. They are becoming clearly the two leaders. Then, and this is actually an interesting piece at CNN. And then it's, you know, where does Bernie Sanders fit into this mix? And what about Kamala Harris? Is she going to keep her kind of aggressive routine, which looks good on some of the debates, but Harry has not really scored as far as increasing her popularity. In other words, within the polling data that's out there.
I think the campaign so far has exposed Kamala Harris as a relatively thin candidate. And by that, I mean her record is easily attacked, and she has great difficulty defending her record, particularly with respect to so-called criminal justice. On one hand, she wishes to push a narrative suggesting that she is a woman of the left, but her record as district attorney and attorney general suggests that she's a woman of the right. And I don't think she's reached a point of deciding which of those two narratives she wishes to push. And consequently, I think she's floundering, and deservedly so.
What do you look for tonight? What do you think will be the big challenge for these candidates? And when I'm saying challenge, who do you think will go after whom here? I'm trying to figure out the pairings.
Yeah, I think Elizabeth Warren is going to try to stand out, especially against Joe Biden. I think it's the biggest night for her, Jay, because she's clearly rising in the polls. Joe Biden is clearly slipping. In fact, there was one poll last week from The Economist that had the two in a dead heat at 26% each. This is going to be a big night for her to see if she has staying power. You remember Kamala Harris had that rise, and then after a debate, she quickly fell. So can Elizabeth Warren sustain? Jay, she's going to have to sustain to the point where she actually starts pulling the support away from Bernie Sanders. That's the consolidation that will have to happen if she's going to overtake the former vice president.
So do you see a challenge, Andy, quickly here between Sanders and possibly, you could have a challenge between Sanders and Warren?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking for the second spot following Biden. I think that's what they're going to be trying to do, and I think Warren is going to probably take the lead over Sanders in that attack on and Biden and move into the second position. And I don't think Bernie really is ultimately going to pull this out.
What do you think, Jordan?
Well, that's the big question that everyone asks is, how does Bernie fit into this entire debate? Does he really want to start throwing punches with Elizabeth Warren where they share the same issue ideas? Or does he just try to go out and try to be and make the case that he's a better candidate than Elizabeth Warren, which I think is, whatever side of the aisle you're on, pretty uphill battle for Bernie to make.
All right, we're taking your calls. Your reaction to what will be tonight's debate, 1-800-684-3110.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, Cory Booker, Beto O'Rourke, Andrew Yang, Julian Castro, and Amy Klobuchar take the debate stage tonight for the first time. We'll have all of them on one stage. I'm looking at the pairings. Who's going to go after who? So let me give you some of what I think here. I think you're going to see clearly if I'm Elizabeth Warren's advisor, it's Bernie. Distinguish yourself from Bernie Sanders. Distinguish yourself from Joe Biden. That's what I think. If I'm Than representing Elizabeth Warren, which I'm clearly not, that's what I would say. Your focus should be distinguish yourself from Bernie Sanders. Go after Joe Biden.
No question about it. And I think she can probably do both tonight, Jay, because look, Joe Biden has been trying to copy Elizabeth Warren so far in this debate. So I think she can come out and say, look, I'm the original recipe based on what Joe Biden is trying to look like. He's got 30 years that don't look like the proposals that I'm putting forward. That's what makes me different. It may be a little harder to distinguish herself from Bernie Sanders because their proposals are very similar. But Jay, I think what we've seen so far is that inside the Democrat base, I don't quite understand this because the policies don't appeal to me, but Elizabeth Warren has been a better salesman of those policies to that base. That's why she's risen and why Bernie Sanders has fallen. I also think another reason for his slight decline, Jay, is the fact that he's had a clean and open shot at this before and couldn't close the deal. I think you'll hear Elizabeth Warren tell that same group of voters, look, I like Bernie, I like his ideas, but he tried this once, he didn't get these ideas over the line, I will do it. And Jay, I think that'll be an effective line for that base.
So, all right, so that takes care of one. Harry's addressed Kamala Harris. Pete Buttigieg is still, he's probably polling fourth or fifth. What does he do?
I think, listen, I it's interesting in this race. You basically have three candidates who are in the top tier. You have Joe Biden, who's still got, in most polls, at least almost a 10-point lead over everyone else. And then you have these two who are basically tied, Sanders and Warren, at 17, 16, give or take. Then it's a significant drop, a 50% drop or more. It's a 65% drop to Kamala Harris at 6%, Mayor Pete at 4%. So as, again, CNN kind of discussed it, you have the three leaders, and then you have seven other candidates who are mired in the single digits in polls. So they're going to be doing wild stuff. Andrew Yang is teasing that he's going to make some big announcement. Now, is it going to move the needle at all? I mean, so far he says he's going to give $1,000. He's going to say, I'm going to give everybody $2,000 a month. Or does he have some
new... Is that $1,000?
Does he have some new policy proposal that's out there? So he's trying to say stuff like that. they're all going to try to stand out. But I think Mayor Pete got really, beaten down, if you will, by what happened in South Bend and when he was mayor, especially amongst Democrats, with the violence there against African Americans by police and how that was handled. And he wasn't there because he was on the campaign trail. He's kind of become, to me, more like a Beto O'Rourke.
I was going to ask that question. I won't get everybody's comments on this. So Pete Buttigieg, to me, the two that are, I think, floundering, or I would say dropping. I think Kamala Harris' problem is she's not rising. We talked about that, Harry. I don't think she's rising. But Buttigieg and O'Rourke seem to be, in my view, Harry, de-escalating or coming down in their popularity.
I think that is correct. I think Beto O'Rourke, or Robert Francis O'Rourke, as he should be known, basically may be victimized by a form of political suicide in the sense that he continues to offer more and more radical proposals which actually contradict the way he's lived his own life. So on one hand, he suggests that the rich ought to send their kids to middle-class and lower-class schools. They ought to move into middle-class neighborhoods. But he went to a private school. He went to Columbia University. He comes from a wealthy family. It's probable that he lives in a gated enclave. But, of course, he decries the immorality of walls. So he is a paragon of inconsistency and self-contradiction. Buttigieg basically has no national profile, at least in my opinion, no prevailing reason why anyone would vote for him, perhaps other than as a mayor or as a city councilman. And he has plenty of problems in South Bend. It's one of the worst cities to live in America. And so why would the American people want to elect the mayor of one of the worst cities in America, president of the United States?
Apparently, right now, it looks like with the way his numbers are going, it looks like they do not.
I think that's
let me
correct.
Play what Elizabeth Warren had to say about tonight, though, because I think this is interesting. This is number 9.
All I can do is stand up and talk about why I'm running. I'm not here to criticize any other Democrat or anyone else's campaign. I'm here to talk about what I'm running for as president and what I see that we can do together.
Okay, so Andy, that sounds really nice. I'm not here to knock down other Democrats, but she has got to take on Bernie Sanders, and she has to take on, I know Jordan will want to comment about this too, she's got to take on Joe Biden.
Joe Biden, that's a very naive statement. I'm here to tout and to praise myself and my ideas and my views and my socialist agenda and free college tuition for everybody and pie in the sky and socialist utopia, George Orwell, before he became a realist about things, talking about utopian solutions to problems. Look, you don't go and win a race by just talking about how great your ideas are. You've got to defeat and knock down your opponents, as Donald Trump did one by one in the last election. And that is that philosophy of campaigning is never going to succeed. She better come out fighting.
That's one thing I see really lacking amongst these Democrats right now is a lack of killer instinct. Joe Biden, this is the third time he's run for president. It's a lack of killer instinct. And for him, I think it's dangerous to go in for kills because he has not been, he's been so gaffe prone that he's been taken off the campaign trail for the most part by his own campaign. So how does he go in for the kills? The rest just don't seem to have that killer instinct yet. I mean, Bernie Sanders kind of did versus Hillary Clinton, but that was an easier matchup one-on-one. I'm the socialist, you're the mainstream, big corporation, old school Democrat. Okay, that's easy. But I mean, again, do any of them have a killer instinct? And by the way, I say that because even if you're a Democrat listening right now, you better hope one of them grows a killer instinct, because there is no way you're going to take on Donald Trump if you don't have a serious political killer instinct. And I'm just not seeing it from this nicey nice and occasional little jab here and there just puts Americans to sleep. And there's another one of these debates in a month, and will people tune in if it keeps being a kind of a sleep fest?
Well, then, Than, which brings up this question. So if you look at the top tier is Sanders, Biden, and Warren, and then you look at tier two as, let's say, Harris and Buttigieg. Tier three as Booker, O'Rourke, Yang, Klobuchar, and Castro. And you look at it that way, they are going to have to start drawing distinctions between themselves, not saying we're all great, just pick one of us.
Yeah, I think once you get past Kamala Harris, I honestly think they're competing for different things, Jay. I mean, I think they'll be probably trying to differentiate themselves either for a vice presidential nomination or for maybe a cabinet post. I just don't think the likelihood of the nominee reaches down past about fourth place right now. You know, if you look back at the start of this nomination process, Jay, there were three candidates kind of in that third tier who had very high personal likability factors. That was Tulsi Gabbard, Andrew Yang, and Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg's likability has fallen off the table completely. So he no longer has the one thing going for him that he had at the start of the process. Andrew Yang and Tulsi Gabbard both still have that, but of course Tulsi Gabbard didn't qualify for this debate. Maybe she will the next. But Jay, I think those are the kind of people who are now going to try to set themselves apart for something other than the nomination. I just don't think the nomination is going to go to anybody but one of those top four.
I mean, right now as it stands, though, let's be realistic. As it stands right now, and it's early, isn't it either going to be Sanders, Biden, or Warren?
I think it's only going to be, as of right now, as it stands, unless someone rises to the top. And I don't know who that is right now because Kamala Harris has had that moment and failed to keep the momentum going. Maybe she has it again, and then we'll test to see whether she could keep it going. For me, I don't count Sanders as a likely nominee. I think it's great for conservatives if he is, because it's a guaranteed victory for Republicans. I think it would be, as my book said, the next red wave would not just be Republican winning the White House and adding seats in the Senate, but I think it would actually be taking back the House of Representatives. And I think most Democrats realize that, the leadership. So for me, it's really right now Biden, Warren. And I favor Warren because Biden has been so bad on the campaign trail, so gaffe-prone, and to the point that his own campaign, this whole like let Biden be Biden, that didn't last long.
No.
His campaign pulled him off the trail when he started making remarks that sounded racist and he had to correct himself, when he started forgetting where he was and over again. And so this is a big moment for Joe Biden. He has to look really strong tonight, really with it tonight. Even if he's taken a lot of hits, he just needs to look strong and with it, not kind of that glowy-eyed, not present.
What do you think? You only got 30 seconds. What do you
Biden,
think?
Biden, it's not in him. He can't do it. He lost three times. He can't do it. He's an old Washington Paul who's trying to resurrect himself from the grave. It's not going to happen. I don't think that he can take it away from Elizabeth Warren.
I think Elizabeth Warren has had a momentum for a long time. She took a hit during the Pocahontas days, but the left has kind of rallied back around her.
All right. We're taking a break. 800-684-3110. Tell us what you think.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. By the way, Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, is coming out in hardback on September 24th. You can pre-order at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. We encourage you to do it. There's also an e-book. And I know we have a, I can tell you by the books we've done, about a third of our audience, maybe a little bit more, uses e-books, e-readers. You could pre-order it for your e-book as well as an e-book, and the day it comes out, you will have it on your e-reader. So again, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books, we encourage you to get it. The Next Red Wave, coming out September 24th. All right. Donna Brazile was a CNN commentator, now a former DNC chair, now on Fox. Take a listen to what she says. 15.
Well, I still believe the vice president is able to communicate directly to the American people. Well, you know, look, he had a slip of the tongue here or there. August was not kind to Joe Biden. But you know what? He has another opportunity tonight to once again show the American people why he's the front runner of the Democratic Party and the experience that he has to lead.
All right. So, Than, let me go to you, and then I want Jordan to comment quickly on, or both of you to comment. It has to be quickly. We got time. Clearly, the DNC establishment, although Harry says that, and we'll talk to Harry about this too, that the media seems to be the new darling, seems to be Elizabeth Warren. But the inside political folks, the folks you're dealing with every day in Washington, still seem to be pushing for Joe Biden.
Well, I think they're pushing for Joe Biden because it's familiar, but I don't believe Donna Brazile that she still believes in the vice president, and I don't believe her for this reason, Jay. His own campaign does not believe in him. His own campaign came out and said, we have to pull down his schedule because he's not performing well, and when he goes out in public, essentially, this is what they said, his support slips. So we're going to re-strategize, we're going to do more policy work behind the scenes, he's not going to go out in public as much. So, Jay, they just don't believe in him at this stage. You've got a long way to go in the campaign trail to begin doing that. You know, Hillary Clinton did that with about 6 weeks left in the campaign, thought she could coast over the line. Even that was too long. Clearly, that hurt her. If they're pulling him off the trail, you know, 15 months in advance, they don't believe in him now. And I think this echoes what Harry and Andy said before the break. That's a real huge red flag. I think Donna Brazile is probably trying to sugarcoat it a little. I think she knows he's in real trouble.
Yeah, I mean, he has to have an excellent debate tonight and have an excellent debate every other debate moving forward and figure out states he can win. Like, he's already basically given up Iowa. He's made that statement. Now, listen, you can get the nomination without winning Iowa. Republicans have shown that time and time again. Most recently,
New Hampshire?
No, I think that would be it. And then it's tough in New Hampshire because you got Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. That's their backyard. He's a mid-Atlantic guy. They are New Englanders. So, I mean, it's a bit tougher, again, for Biden to make the case in New Hampshire. So South Carolina becomes like his big state, and he is at the moment the most popular candidate among African Americans, who make up a big part of the vote in the Democrat primary in South Carolina. But if you get to two losses, that vote may not come out as strong. It's not the majority of Democrat votes in South Carolina in the primary, and whoever is doing well. So if someone won both Iowa and New Hampshire, or if it's kind of been a split between Warren and Sanders or somebody else, I think that those strategies where you say, oh, I'll wait till that third or fourth state, are very difficult to pull off. The only thing I caution is that Joe Biden is still way ahead of everybody.
Right.
Even with all of the problems, he still polls way ahead of Sanders, way ahead of Elizabeth Warren. And then, I mean, the others like aren't even polling. If you were really being honest, they shouldn't even be on the debate stage either. I mean, Kamala Harris can't get to 10%.
I know.
Why is she on the debate stage for president of the United States when she's been running for what seems like a year now? Again, you cannot count Joe Biden out yet. I don't believe he can go the distance because I can't figure out where he can win. That being said, the others also have a lot of opportunities to shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
And for instance, on one of those topics, they're going to talk a lot tonight about like gun control, I'm sure. But the House just put forward a resolution to ban the assault rifle, the AR-15 or the similar weapons, like the AK-47. It didn't get a majority of Democrats to pass. You got 211. You need 218. Now, they have right now plenty of members. They have 235 Democrats in the House, but only 211 would sign on to the resolution to ban the assault rifle, which means A lot more are too worried about their own reelection because they're all up for reelection in the House to do that. So it's not the Republicans stopping the ban on the assault rifle. It is Democrats who can't get the votes in the House.
All right, so let's take it a step further. So if we take the position, Harry, that the love fest with the establishment in the political party is Joe Biden, although maybe – but you made the point, I think it's an important one, that there's the political class and then there's the media class.
I think that is correct. So I think if you look at the mainstream media, they love Elizabeth Warren. And many cognitive elites, including the mainstream media, have gone to rich, private, highly selective schools. They love Elizabeth Warren despite her professorial commitment to intellectual incoherence. She now wants to raise, for instance, Social Security benefits, while the Social Security Trust Fund is already at risk. Plus, she wants to spend trillions of dollars on climate change, which would disemploy working class workers in the fossil fuel industry. And she essentially tells those workers who actually are voters, oh, just go ahead and get another job. She wants Medicare for all, which would effectively threaten Medicare. But she also wants, for instance, to provide health care benefits for illegals. So if you look at her policies, at the end of the day, they don't make sense. And the solution that she offers with respect to funding her policies is to simply tax the rich. Well, as we all know from basic tax law and basic accounting, the rich pay taxes on declared income. And what is to prevent them from deferring that income? And basically, they have access to the best lawyers, the best accountants, and guess what? They will defer that income, and so her policies will blow up the budget deficit long-term, and in my judgment, they will not work.
There's another good question coming on Facebook, and again, if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110 or Facebook and Periscope. Great comments coming in. Dana writes this, which candidate is best suited to debate against President Trump? Here, Andy?
That's a good point.
It is a good quote.
That is an excellent point, and Joe Biden is not the one. Joe Biden didn't even know where he was the other day when he was in New Keene, New Hampshire, said he was in Vermont, called President Trump President Hump. I mean, he is not the person. Joe Biden has had his day. He had his opportunity. He has lost his opportunity. The best person to debate President Trump among the Democrats is, in my view, no one. There's not one that can stand up against
him. But if they were
going to
put up one, who would the one be?
Well, I mean, it would have to be Elizabeth Warren because that's the one that appeals to their left-wing base. But Mike Dukakis was governor of Massachusetts and had no prayer. No Massachusetts senator is going to become president of the United States.
Dan, quickly.
Look, in a general debate, Elizabeth Warren might stand on the stage with her, but with President Trump, but I don't think she can compete in those great lake states. So I'd say somebody like Kamala Harris.
That's what I was thinking. I was wondering if Kamala Harris would be the better debater, if you're looking at just from a debate.
Yeah, but it's tough to see her getting there right now. Now, yep. She could have a great debate tonight, but she's had that before and then fallen off the face of the earth. So it's too early. It's too early, but she certainly needs a good debate tonight to even start having a conversation about her being the one on stage to debate President Trump. I think it's more likely Elizabeth Warren, but I still think that Elizabeth Warren versus Trump debate, her kind of screaming and her kind of attitude plays right into Trump, the shark, if you will.
Yep. All right. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We're here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour, over at Facebook, Periscope, and of course, easily on Sirius XM, a number of other stations around the country as well. Don't forget Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, coming out September 24th. Ebook and hardback, so you can order either one. Pre-order it now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Walmart.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Bringing it right back into the Democrat debate, 1-800-684-3110. That's tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time on ABC News. It's the first time we're getting a single night of debate with the top 10 candidates on stage. So you're not going to get that mix of this time they're all going to be on stage, all of the front runners, all the ones who have gotten the most name ID and have done the best in the polls, the best in the fundraising, will all be on stage together. So you won't have to follow 6 hours over two nights to watch the debate. You'll just have to watch the debate tonight. Now, we'll break it down for you tomorrow because I know many of you out there saying, Jordan, I got other things to do. It's 8 o'clock. But again, this is important. It's for President of the United States, and one of these people is going to be the nominee that challenges President Trump and is going to get a significant amount of votes, a lot of votes in this. But before we get back into politics, so if you've got calls on that, 1-800-684-3110. And my question to you is this. If you are a Democrat, who do you think is the best candidate to take on Donald Trump? And, you know, I'm not trying to get into your politics or disagree with your politics, but if you're a Democrat, who do you believe the best candidate is to take on Donald Trump? Or if you're someone who is not going to vote for Donald Trump this election cycle, you made that decision. Who do you think? Is there one of these Democrats that's best to take on Donald Trump? If you're a Republican, try to put yourself, it's not easy these days, in the shoes of a Democrat voter because they're kind of icky shoes. But try to do it. And I saw that laugh then. And try to do it because and figure out, you know, for if you were just a prognosticator, what Democrat would be best to take on our commander-in-chief? Think about the debates. Think about the states you need to do better in, like the Midwest. Again, the Rust Belt as well. And again, give us your calls. Get those in now, 1-800-684-3110, so we can get right to them after this short segment. I want to break the news, though. Supreme Court issued undid an injunction against a new policy from the Trump administration. This was, again, a policy that would deny anyone asylum who passes through another country on the way to the U.S., another safe country, and did not seek asylum there, did not even ask for it there. So they were only looking for asylum to declare asylum in the U.S. Of course, this was losing in the Ninth Circuit and in California, but the Supreme Court, I'll go to Harry and Andy quickly, 7-2. Overturned this nationwide injunction and has allowed this new policy to go into effect while the case progresses.
Right. I'm gratified that Justice Breyer and Justice Kagan voted in favor of the Trump administration policy. The only two dissents were Ginsburg and Sotomayor, predictably. But asylum seekers have got to pass an initial screening called what they call a credible fear interview, which the vast majority are able to do. But under the new policy, they would fail that test unless they sought asylum in at least one country that they traveled through and were denied asylum in that country. They would be placed, if they did, in a fast-track deportation proceeding in the United States, and then the United States would fly them back home at, of course, U.S. taxpayer expense. But this is an important victory, I think, and I think it was significant, very significant for the Trump administration.
Yeah, if you get a 7-2 victory like this procedurally, Harry, I mean, when this ultimately, if it does make its way to the U.S. Supreme Court, which it looks like it will be because the Ninth Circuit is trying to narrow it, but not say that it's constitutional. But it's a pretty good likelihood, it's not definite, that on the actual legal matters in the case, you've got a victory here for the Trump administration on policy as well once this actually gets there.
I think your analysis is sound, and that is also consistent with the Trump administration's victory in the so-called travel ban cases. And also remember the Trump administration prevailed in July with respect to reallocating defense spending to build the wall. So I think there's a consistent record here, and I think the administration will likely prevail. It might be a narrower victory, might be 6-3 or 5-4, but I think the Trump administration will prevail on these new asylum rules.
All right, we get back into politics in the Democrat debate tonight. When we come back, order the next.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, so we're getting back into politics, and again, we announced that victory at the Supreme Court from the Trump administration, a procedural victory, but allows their new asylum policy to go into effect that says if you are coming to the U.S. to apply for asylum, just simply, and this is kind of international law and international norm, and you pass through another country, a country that would have been safe for you to apply for asylum in, and you didn't even seek asylum there, well, you can't seek asylum in the United States. And the Supreme Court is going to allow that policy to move forward as the case is litigated. In the Ninth Circuit, there was a district court judge who kept putting out nationwide injunctions. The Ninth Circuit was putting out injunctions only in two states. The Supreme Court now has said, no, this can go into force nationwide. Now, of course, the focus is on the southern border. Already 45,000 people have been affected by this. So 45,000 people who could have claimed asylum somewhere else and didn't even try, which means they're not real asylum seekers. They're coming here for economic purposes.
And, of course, the Supreme Court has the ability to issue a, because they are the Supreme Court of the United States.
Actual,
so if they say, we're putting this on hold, that affects the entire country. A U.S. District Court in the Southern District of California, as we've talked to Harry, you and I have talked about a lot, should not be issuing nationwide injunctions.
Absolutely. And it turns out, of course, that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals agrees with that assessment because they narrowed the injunction to Arizona and California. So the Trump administration already had permission to go forward with this asylum rule for most of the United States, particularly Texas and New Mexico.
Let me raise one issue on that, which is I find interesting, is that there was a 7-2 decision, which we talked about, but it was and that Kagan and Breyer, Andy, went with the majority.
Yeah, that was a surprise to me.
That's good.
The only, of course it is, but I think that they realize that they have to defer to the administration in these matters because the Constitution dictates that you do that. And again, Sotomayor and Ginsburg, who are just diehard left-wingers, are not going to go and buy this under any circumstances whatsoever.
All right, we're going to take some calls. We're taking your calls and comments at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. I want to talk about the Alabama race for just one moment, then we'll take some calls, okay?
Yeah, so we're going to go into this, look at a little bit at the Senate landscape and the House landscape as well.
So Alabama Senate race.
Yeah, so Alabama, you've got Doug Jones. He's a Democrat.
Beat Roy Moore.
Beat Roy Moore. Barely, 49 to 48, 49.9 to 48.4. So I mean, basically by 1% in 2014. There are a lot of candidates running to run against Doug Jones because
are there any polls out yet that mean anything?
No, I mean the only polls that mean anything are is if it's not Roy Moore, and it's any of these other Republicans likely. So State Rep Bradley Byrne, State Rep Arnold Rooney, the former Auburn University coach Tommy Tuberville. Here's what matters. President Trump won Alabama by 28% of the vote. So as long as it's not Roy Moore, I think it's an automatic victory for Republicans. But big question, we can go to Than on this. Big question, Than, is Roy Moore does pretty well in these primaries. I mean, he's had a great record in winning primaries.
He very well may be the nominee, Jordan. I think you're absolutely correct. I think there's going to be analysis there in the state of Alabama of electability. We hear this a lot, but I think it's really true in this case. You would typically look at Alabama and say that's an ironclad lock for Republicans. And I'll tell you right now, Jordan, no matter who the nominee is, I do think a Republican is going to win. But I would differentiate in this way. If you have a new nominee, different than Roy Moore, who just ran, I think it's an ironclad lock for Republicans. If Roy Moore gets the nomination, I would still bet he's going to win that seat, Jordan.
So do you think this time it would be Roy Moore would win this time because President Trump's on the ticket?
I think that's what would make the difference. Yes, I do. Here's what will be different, though, just in the atmospherics, Jay. You will get a lot of money spent by both parties in that state if Roy Moore is the nominee, because it's at least on the table. If he's not the nominee, both parties are going to leave that state, Jay, because the Republicans are going to win it. And frankly, President Trump will probably make that margin of victory north of 30 points for any other candidate.
So you think then, what I hear Than saying is that Than thinks no matter how it goes, Alabama's coming back to be a Republican seat.
Yeah, I mean, I think that
be tougher with Roy Moore, but
tougher. But President Trump on the ballot, and again, yep. Roy Moore only lost by 1%. Doug Jones is a Democrat. I expect that Donald Trump will still win Alabama by something like 27 to 28% of the vote. This coattail should be pretty long. So even with a Roy Moore, it's tough to see how people vote for Trump. Because so many more people vote in a presidential election that they vote for Trump, and the next race down, decide to vote for a Democrat. That to me, even though it's a well known name there, Roy Moore, it's tougher scenario. But it would sure be a lot easier for Republicans likely if it wasn't Roy Moore, because he's shown he could be beat by a Democrat in Alabama. Yeah. Not many Republicans can wear that badge. In the last 20 years.
All right, let's go ahead and take some calls. 800-684-3110. We want to know what you think about it. Let's go to the phones.
Yep, let's go in order. Let's go to Robert in Texas on line one. Robert, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Robert.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
Question is it possible that the DNC's strategy for allowing such far-left ideologies to be pushed so hard in these campaign debates is that they're looking to really just desensitize enough of the American people to be sympathetic towards all of these things?
I think that's happened. I mean, I think if you look, Harry, at Bernie Sanders' positions early on, when he ran it last time, now it sounds normal.
It does. I would agree with the caller that the Democratic base continues to lurch leftward, and the Democratic candidates continue to offer more lunacy in terms of their policy proposals. But it's also important for the Democrats to take a lesson or two from the results of North Carolina's 9th congressional district, wherein the Democratic candidate who ran in 2018 basically came within 0.5% of prevailing. The results of that election were nullified, and then we had a rerun of that election, and the Republican won by a significantly larger margin. And this is, of course, in a non-presidential year. So it's important, I think, for the Democratic leaders to be very, very careful about pushing a leftward agenda, because I think it will ultimately turn off moderate voters.
I mean, this goes to what the New York Times, one of their opinion columnists, who is not a Trump supporter at all, who is a liberal, wrote yesterday, Democrats going in reverse. They did worse in North Carolina last night than last year, and goes through that and then says these two elections, they're not perfect comparisons, but it shows again that the Democrats are not having a very strong 2019. They start with the failed investigation of President Trump, saying how unimpressive that is, that all became. And this is from a Democrat. Disappointing loyal voters and failing to persuade more swing voters against Trump. The party's presidential candidates have also chosen to support a few policies that are so unpopular, like border decriminalization. So for anyone that enters the border illegally, that there is no more illegally entry, that anybody can just come across, or the elimination of private health insurance completely. And that candidates aren't focusing on kitchen table issues that matter most to voters, like wages and living costs. He still thinks, now this is a liberal, that President Trump is an underdog to win, but he thinks that Democrats are going in the wrong direction. And Democrats don't write like this unless they're trying to issue a huge wake-up call. The New York Times wouldn't print this if they weren't trying to issue a huge wake-up call to the DNC.
So what's the wake-up call, Andy? What does it look like to the DNC as they hit the stage tonight? What are they looking for, do you think?
Well, I think the wake-up call is that they're looking for to get some middle ground here, to get somebody who is not as radical as the Warren and Sanders faction is, and Booker and Kamala Harris. And there, the DNC and the Democratic establishment is behind Joe Biden. Their strategy is to take him off the campaign trail because he's made such stupid remarks. But he is the one that I think the Democratic establishment believes can beat Donald Trump. And that's the one that they're going to solidify.
Except he may not be able to win a state in a primary until maybe South Carolina, which may be too late by then.
Oh, I think if he hasn't won a state by South Carolina, I think it is too late. In fact, I think that's when voters that were looking for someone more moderate would look elsewhere. The caller asked if the DNC was behind trying to get these socialist ideas into the debate. I think it's exactly the opposite. I think they know these socialist ideas can't win across the Rust Belt, and that's why they favor Joe Biden. It has desensitized it, but I think the DNC knows it and knows it makes them vulnerable in the general election.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to come up to a break. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Last segment, get your calls in by Facebook and Periscope as well, 1-800-684-3110. Very important for you to speak out on these issues. When we come back, we'll take your calls. As I said, don't forget Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. Pre-order it now, either the hardback version or the ebook, and you'll be delivered to you on September 24th. But we want to get as many people involved in it early. You can check it out at thenextredwave.com. But really, the easiest way to do it, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books, you can order the ebook. It'll be there the day it comes out, right to your e-reader. Or you could order it via, of course, Amazon as well, and Barnes & Noble for the hardback. We encourage you to do it.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
the way, Betsy on Facebook said, I've ordered Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, and looking forward to reading it. And Linda said, I've ordered mine as an ebook. I can't wait for it to come out. So it's coming out September 24th. It's The Next Red Wave, available in bookstores everywhere. We, as we said, encourage you to pre-order it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Ebooks are great. Hardback is great, too. Whichever one you'd like to have. The Next Red Wave, September 24th. All right, back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, let's go to Brian in California online, too. Brian, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Brian.
Thanks for taking my call. I just had a couple of thoughts I kind of wanted to get your take on, and I will hang up on myself and listen offline. To touch on something you said before the break, I personally believe, I think the reason Joe Biden is polling still so high is that the majority of Americans are still fall relatively moderate. And I feel like Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris and Bernie Sanders, everything that they're running on is essentially higher taxes. And my second thought, kind of running into that, being personally, I don't think it matters who the nominee is, because as of right now, all of the leading nominees have so many skeletons and so much dirt that it's going to be like softball for Trump when they get into the debate.
It's not softball, because the country is at 47% one way and 53% the other, and so it's a full contact sport here.
It's a blood sport. I mean, politics is a blood sport, and you go for the jugular when you get to the stage of presidential debates of, the incumbent president versus the challenger. And in this case, the incumbent will be President Trump. The challenger will be one of these Democrats. I think that it's tough as conservatives to realize just how liberal the Democrat Party has become, because it's tough to believe that what's happened on college campuses has gotten to the level of adult, if you will, candidates for president of the United States, not just college professors and college students, and that these ideas have gone from the Bernie Sanders fringe to pretty much the mainstream. Joe Biden has a very tough time getting people to vote for him if he runs too far to the middle. He may try to sound like he's middle of the road, but that is not going to get him a primary victory. Unless, because this idea that I saw Democrats in the, again, most of the Democrat, recent Democrat commentators who worked on Hillary Clinton's campaign, remember, they are commentators, they lost when they ran against President Trump. They said, well, people just want the best candidate to beat Trump. That never wins primaries. You have to have enthusiasm. People have to like you. They have to care about your message. I mean, on both sides of the aisle. You've got to. It can't just be that you're the most electable. You're the most electable doesn't ever win any elections. You will lose every election if it's just you're the most electable. You have to be the most loved. You have to be the most people are most excited about. They have the most passion for. They're willing to spend 3 hours at a phone bank for free and drag their kids there as well for you to win the presidency of the United States. That's tough for me to see Joe Biden.
Okay, so which raises this question. So let's take Joe Biden out of this for a second. Yeah. Let's say it just doesn't happen for Joe Biden. Harry, who do you think it is? I mean, well, it's way early. If you were the Democratic National Committee, who would you want it to be?
I think the Democratic National Committee would prefer Elizabeth Warren to any of the others. I think Bernie Sanders, with all due respect, has become very, very shrill.
Yeah.
And he has continued to narrow the individuals who find him attractive.
I think that's
Remember,
right.
He supported extending voting rights to the Boston Bombers, which I thought was just a very dumb idea. And most of the voters, even in Massachusetts, think that's a pretty dumb idea.
Yep.
So he's a pretty rigid ideologue. I think Elizabeth Warren is more articulate. I also think that she could explain away some of her more left-wing proposals in a way that might indeed be more appealing to moderate voters. But I also think she's got a lot of baggage to deal with. But
right,
I think at the end of the day, it's Elizabeth Warren.
You think it's Elizabeth Warren. All right, Than?
I think she may be the favorite, but as much as I always try very hard not to disagree with Professor Hutchison, Jay, I do disagree with him on this. I think there's a reason that the DNC prefers Joe Biden, because they think that Senator Sanders or Senator Warren cannot win across the Rust Belt. If Joe Biden is eliminated continues to fall, I think you'll see the establishment switch to someone else other than those two, which, again, is why I keep bringing up Kamala Harris. She's been a bad candidate. I don't think they want her either. They want Joe Biden. But if he falls off, I doubt you'll see the establishment switch to either of the socialists, because I think they know that's a losing proposition in a general election.
No, I think that what you could see is if you take Joe Biden out of it, the fundraising money that Joe Biden receives would likely, a lot of it, go to Kamala Harris. I think that if she does well tonight and has some good debates.
Even when she's done well in the debates, her numbers just don't move.
They did once, but she did poorly in the debate after it. So that was the problem. And so we'll see what happens tonight. This is taking Joe Biden out of it, though. She gets no benefit at all as long as Joe Biden's in it. She's a single digit poller.
So, Andy, do you see Joe Biden leaving the race?
No, I don't think he's going to leave the race, but I think he's going to be left out of the race eventually. I think that's what I agree with Than on this, actually. The Democratic National Committee does not really wants Joe Biden, but if Biden falters and can't win a primary and is out of the race, they're going to be stuck with Harris and Sanders, with Sanders and Warren, and they don't want them. They're going to go to an alternative before they go with
the reason why they want Biden is because Biden is a party line guy, so he will move as far left as the party thinks that he should, but he won't go further than that. He will adopt their policies, the DNC's policies. He's not going to go, like Elizabeth Warren has basically written the entire policy proposal.
I'm with Harry, though. I think it's going to be, all the thing could change in an hour.
Why the DNC would want Biden is he would be in line, he would do everything they asked to try and beat Trump.
I think it's the trajectory of...
But you got to have people loving you. You got to have people loving you. You have people passionate about you. And when 25 people show up at your event, you were the former vice president under Barack Obama, people aren't loving you, Joe.
No, I think that's right. All right, let's take the last
call. It's true. It's just
tonight,
Joe. People aren't showing up, especially on college campuses, younger voters. And that's a base that you got to have to get out the vote. Alex in New Jersey, on line one. Alex, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hey, Alex, last call of the day.
Yep. Love your show, gentlemen. Thanks. Thank you. My opinion, full stop. Joe Biden doesn't get the nomination. It's over for the Democrats. He's the only one that could win. And he's the only moderate left in the race, so there's no one to take his place.
And he's moving. And to call him a moderate these days is difficult because he's moving so far to the left, trying to keep up with the Elizabeth Warrens and the Bernie Sanders. So he's got an identity crisis going on right now. I think that's half his problem, is a serious, serious identity crisis. All right, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Let me encourage you to do something, folks. Support the work of the ACLJ, aclj.org for that. Also, this is pretty neat. You need to be engaged with us, and there's a great way to do it. Go to the website, sign up for our newsletter, sign up for Twitter. I have at Jay Sekulo, at Jordan Sekulo, at ACLJ. Also, Facebook, I've got a page, Jordan has a page, and the ACLJ has a page. Great way to stay engaged. Don't forget Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave.
Yeah, The Next Red Wave. It is out September 24th. You can pre-order it now. You go to thenextredwave.com. That has all the different places. So whoever you prefer to pre-order your books from, or your e-book, audio book, it's all at thenextredwave.com. And we really encourage you to make those pre-orders. So if you're thinking about, hey, I'm going to purchase this book, go ahead and make the pre-order today. We really appreciate it. Thenextredwave.com has all the places you can pre-order the book. We will talk to you tomorrow after the debate.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.